Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land. How are you today? And welcome to the Power of Traveling Radio Show. And as you all know, if this is your first or second time, or maybe you've been a constant fan of ours, you know that the Power of Traveling is an internet radio program about the many facets of traveling. Each show will provide an overview of the travel industry. This show will take you to places you have not been before with the voices of travel agents. Today, I am so privileged and blessed to have two travel agents on the line. And when I call your name, I'll just say, hey, hello, and all of that. First, we have Dr. Danita Applewhite. Can you give a shout out to the people?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just great. And then another one of our travel agent partners is Joyce White. Joyce, can you give a shout out?
Hey, everybody. Glad you joined us.
Hey. So we have wonderful travel agents from different atmospheres of travel giving a little bit of their experience and expertise. So, Dr. Applewhite, this is your first time joining us on our show. Can you tell us what you are doing in the travel industry?
Well, I'd like to compliment you first off for the great job you're doing with the show. And I also I'd like to expound a little bit on the factor that my private practice is based on disability and pain management.
Mm-hmm.
And I help students and including veterans who are in school to get through and succeed in the workforce. And that is my number one mission. I became involved with travel because I love to travel, number one, and you know that, and that's why you introduced me to this lovely travel network. And it allows me not only to travel myself but to also share the opportunity with my students and clients so that they can travel at a discount and also become more empowered to travel, especially if they have any form of disability that may have hindered them in the past. So really, really appreciate that.
Well, you are most welcome. And then we're going to hear a little bit more from you a little bit later. And just in case people want to know a little bit more what you do, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, please feel free to connect with me at askdrapplewhite.com or at whiteappleinstitute.org. Either one they'll be able to connect with me if they need any assistance, support in trying to get into school and into the workforce, especially if they have been out for a while. So, and I also want to welcome you to the Blog Talk Radio show. My show airs on Saturday, the Student to Teacher Radio show. And I invite you to come on and talk about travel on that show also.
I will love to do that, and I know that this coming Saturday is very special for you, and I probably won't be able to make it on your show this week because it is a special occasion for you, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And Joyce, I know that you've been on the show a couple of times already, so why don't you reintroduce yourself and what you do in the travel industry?
Well, I am Joyce with Joyce White Travel Agency, and I am a vacation group specialist, and I love helping people get their travel plans in order for them to travel, and also I look for different art spaces and places for them to go and visit.
Wonderful. And for more information about you, how can people who are interested in the arts and arts travel and groups and things like that get in touch with you?
They can contact me by phone or by website, which is www.joycewhitetravelagency.com, and they can also call me at 602 area code 304-1040.
All right. And we'll be hearing more from these ladies in a little bit. And, of course, if you just want to get in touch with the Power of Traveling radio program, of course, you can just email us at thepowerofTraveling@gmail.com, thepowerofTraveling@gmail.com, and that will come to us, and we will be glad to answer any of your questions in regard to traveling. If you've been with us the whole month, this whole month is about getting back to the basics of traveling, getting back to the basis of traveling. We talked about how to pack, and we just talked in general about traveling, the overview of traveling, how to pack today. Oh, I know you're going to say you're going to be itching. Your palm is going to be itching. I can't remember if it's the left palm or the right palm. When the old folks used to say, oh, my hand is itching. I know money is coming. Coming, coming, coming. So today we're going to talk about carrying money. You're going to say, what? I done paid for this trip, and I got to pay some more money, carry some more money? Oh, yes, indeed, carrying money internationally and domestically, because you just never know. And I know some of you are shoppers, and you're going to go to, if you're in Paris, you're going to go find Chanel, you're going to go find Dior, and all of those wonderful places, or maybe you won't. Or if you're in Istanbul, you might want to go to the Grand Bazaar and see how you can haggle and bargain with the merchants there, make their day. So you're going to have to carry some type of currency. There is a commercial out, and you've all seen it, whether it's with Alec Baldwin or now with their new spokesperson, Samuel Jackson. It is, what is the name of that card? Capital One. And the question that they ask is this: what do you carry in your wallet? So my question to everybody here is, what do you carry in your wallet when you are traveling? What do you carry in your wallet while you are traveling? And if you want to call in and leave join the conversation, our telephone number is 516-418-5740. 516-418-5740. Call in. We'd like to see what you carry in your wallet. So, ladies, Joyce, Dr. Apple, I know you're looking through your purses right now. What do you carry in your wallet when you are traveling? So, Dr. Apple, when you go traveling, what do you carry in your wallet? Dr. Apple? Okay, I think she will come back with us a little later. Joyce, what do you carry in your wallet?
Normally, I carry travel checks. For me, that's the best way, travel checks, because currency, monies, and credit cards and things like that, I tend to lose them.
Oh, no, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Okay, you get to lose them, or do you get to use them too much?
No, I get to lose them before I get a chance to use them.
Oh, that
is no
does
fun
not,
at all.
That is not fun whatsoever. Oh, no. Well, what do I carry in my wallet? I carry, yes, I do carry a Capital One card. And I do carry a couple of other cards with me as well. However, when I am going out of the country, I carry cash. It depends on the country that I go to, Joyce, whether I stay with U.S. currency or I try to get a conversion of currency into the country that I'm going into, their currency. So I do a little mixture of both. I do know that when I was out of the country last month, and folks, I wasn't in some exotic place like China or Europe or anything. Like, I was down in the Bahamas, which may be exotic to some of it, and it was. It was very nice. I just took U.S. currency. However, the currency is equally exchanged, but you have to be very careful with them giving you change back when you give them American money, U.S. currency, because they'll give you change back in their currency. So I'm looking through my purse yesterday, and guess what? I have a quarter, but it is from the Bahamas, and I cannot use that. I cannot use that quarter here in the United States. So guess what I'm going to have to do? Oh, well.
You got to go back to the Bahamas, huh?
I'm going to have to go back to the Bahamas and spend my quarter. How?
I know,
oh,
you're so
well.
Sad. You're so sad. I know.
Oh,
I just
my
cry
goodness.
For you.
I know. Isn't that something? I am just going to have to go back. Plan another trip because I have this Bahamian money that I cannot spend here in the United States, and
oh,
I have to
poor baby.
Spend it in Nassau or Freeport or Exuma or Eleuthera, but it's going to get spent sometime another. Oh, my gosh. So, listening audience, if you want to participate in this particular conversation about carrying money and what do you have in your wallet while you are traveling, remember, our call-in number is 516-418-5740. And if you want to know more about the type of travel business that I am in, you can always go to myjoyoustravels.com, myjoyoustravels.com. And I do all-inclusives as well as cruises as well. And as I was going through material planning for today, I ran across this quotation. And I thought this was absolutely perfect for today. It says, money is only a tool. It will take you wherever you wish, but it will not replace you as the driver. So I look at that as, if you want to go somewhere, you're still in control, no matter how much money you may have in your pocket or in your wallet, or in your, as the old people would say, your pocketbook. You will just have to be in the driver's seat. Be in the driver's seat. Don't let money drive you. You drive the money. And just think about that. Just think about it when you are on vacation. So let's look at this topic, carrying money. I have three questions I'm going to ask you to think about, and we're going to cover the answers to these three questions throughout our show today. The first one is, how much money should you bring with you when you're on vacation? How much money? You know, and we're talking about either physical money, like Joyce, you know, was saying, she loses certain things, you know, should you, and that's the other thing, how should you carry your money? In what form? Should you carry your credit cards with you? Should you have cash? Should you have the traveler's checks? Those are the three major forms of our currency when we go on vacation. So think about the forms that you're going to use when you go on vacation. And our third question is this: how can you keep your money safe? Very important question, because there are people out there who have, as I would say, sticky fingers and long fingers, light fingers. You know, I have a story about that. When I went to Spain the first time, what happened to me, it wasn't that I intentionally lost something. You know, we never intentionally try to lose anything, but it just happened that somebody had sticky fingers when I was in Spain. So, Joyce, I have a question to ask you. So how much money do you think you should have when you are on vacation, when you go away?
Well, for me, I need as much as possible, but I need to have at least, I don't know, $1,000 or so with me, because I like to shop. And this is why I like the traveler's checks, because I can get them in $50 increments and shop at many different places and don't have to have too much change or dollar bills, U.S. style or whatever style, in my wallet or whatever. Because sticky fingers, like you say, there's a lot of those. And people
absolutely
will bump up against you, and when you know it, your wallet is gone.
Absolutely. You got that right. So you are saying for you, did I hear correctly, $1,000?
Pretty much what I did in the past when I was traveling, yes.
Uh-huh.
Now I know things probably has went up considerably, because it's been a minute since I've been and did any traveling. But typically, that's what I would use.
Oh, okay. All right. That seems like a nice sum of money. And I know some of the listening audience right now say, $1,000, man, she got deep pockets. It's
no,
like, wow.
It took some extra, some effort to get there, but I know I like to shop. My relatives like to shop. When I go visit family, I like to buy my daughter and grandkids stuff. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? Absolutely. $1,000 may seem like a lot, but when you kind of make a budget before you go out, it may come up to about $1,000, or it may be less. But if you like to shop and shop and shop, it may be over $1,000. So this is how you go about planning on how much money you should take, and depending on the mode of travel. Because if you are on a cruise ship, Joyce, you have to make sure that you have money for incidentals. And the incidentals may be including the gratuities for the people who make your stay aboard the cruise ship enjoyable. So that includes your waiter, that includes the bus boy, the busman, and the people who keep your cabin spotless. So, you know, they actually live off of what we call the gratuities or the tips. So
exactly.
And that is usually done in paper currency. So you have to figure out before you go on your trip how much money you're going to leave for each of these three people. And sometimes they even say for the maitre d' of the dining rooms that you need to leave something for them as well. So
especially if you're enjoying what they're fixing for you. Yeah.
Especially if you are enjoying something that they're fixing for you. Case in point. So I was down in the Bahamas last month, and I stayed at the Royal Bahamian, Sandals Royal Bahamian Resort. And one of their rules is that you don't tip. You don't tip anybody there. Why? Because the price that you pay in the all-inclusive is including the gratuities. No matter how excellent or superior the service is. And I felt kind of funny. I felt kind of funny walking around without my credit cards, without any money to here's an extra $5. It's like, no, you can't do that or else. And if they do accept it, they may be in line to lose their job because they know that they're not supposed to accept any tips or gratuities from the guests because it's all inclusive. So back to a budget. So, okay, so if we're going...
No.
Yeah. So if you're going to a new place that you've never been before, you might want to budget in a sightseeing tour, some type of sightseeing tour. And usually those sightseeing tours are running close to $100. And if you are on a cruise and you're doing three or four different ports, that's $400 right there. Now, you can pay for that in cash or you can pay for that on credit card or in your debit card or with your traveler's checks. But make sure that you are budgeting that amount of money into how much money am I going to need extra to make this a memorable trip, okay? So we have sightseeing. Now, the other S word she said was shopping. Now, if you're in Paris or any of those wonderful islands where they have all of the fancy-dancy shops and stuff, you know you're going to spend some nice change. So I went into this jewelry shop called the Colombian Emeralds, and they have emeralds and all kinds of precious gems in it. And, of course, my eyes got big because they were beautiful. Now, some places like them, if you live in the United States, you can make a deal with them. Well, they'll make a deal with you where you can take jewelry home and you can put a down payment, and every month you can send something back to the place or make a – it's almost like is you buy and you take the jewelry with you and you keep paying on it, installment plan type – of arrangement until you pay for it. Pardon me?
Like a layaway deal?
Like a layaway deal.
With you?
You take it with you. I'm quite sure they would love for you to come back. You let it stay there and come back and pick it up and get some more. But it's like a layaway, but it's almost like the flex plan that HSN and QVC have where they send out the merchandise and you keep paying for it over a period of months. So you can figure that into your budget. How much do you want to spend on incidental shopping, you know, on jewelry?
About $500 onto my budget now.
Now that's $500 more. Or
maybe
it depends more, and it might be even more than that if you see something that really glistens and shines and sparkles and everything in your eye, you may want to extra $1,000 on that.
Absolutely. my eyesight and everything, I have definitely a champagne belly, as they say, with Kool-Aid budget.
Well, that sounds like fun. That sounds like fun. And sometimes I just go in and out of the stores just to see what they have. Now, I was on a quest this last time. Somebody told me, will you go look at the emeralds because that's our birthstone. I was born in May, and so therefore my birthstone is an emerald. So I was looking at emeralds, and the sales lady, young, nice sales lady, she says, you mean to say you don't have any emeralds? I said, no, I don't. Oh, what a shame. You've got to have a piece, just a little piece. And I said, you're right. I need a little piece. But they didn't have the tiny piece that I wanted. It was too much money right then and there to get it, even though I probably could have got the layaway flex plan. But next time we'll do that. But I also have, you know, if I make a list of what I'm going to be looking for, I will definitely, you know, be focused and look for that particular item, and then when I'm finished, that's it. You know, don't go overboard. I know this is a time for you to really relax and enjoy yourself and be Daddy Warbucks, well, Mama Warbucks and Daddy Warbucks and everything, but be sensible in your spending as well. So here's a guideline about how much you spend. First of all, like I said, make that budget. Sometimes when you go out of the country, U.S. Customs put a limit of how much cash you can take out of the country. So on one of those little slips that you have to fill out about the U.S. Customs going into another country, they don't want you to take no more than $10,000. Well, they're not going to have a problem with me taking $10,000 into another country. But that is something to be aware of. What are the rules and regulations of U.S. Customs about the amount of cash that you can take on your person when you go into another country, and how much money you can take out of a country back into the United States. So those are some things that when we're talking about the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic, this is something that you need to read up on U.S. Customs on finding the amount of money that you legally can take out of the United States into another country. Therefore, $1,000, I think it'll be okay, a couple of thousand. But, you know, I don't think like that. I think I took in cash this last time a couple of $100. You know, I'm good. And the reason why I took a small amount, don't have to go around buying up everything in sight. So, you know, that keeps me on the straight and narrow. But that's just me. I'm just saying. That's what I did. Now, also, it is a good idea. We talked about foreign currency. It's always a good idea to go to one of the larger banks in your town or city that you live in and get some local currency. And the reason why is that you're going to have to maybe use public transportation. Maybe you go to their restaurants and you want to pay in their local currency so that they can give you the money in change back in their local currency, and guess what, go back home and then you exchange it and put it back into U.S. currency or your wherever you are located, their currency. Because I remember so vividly when I was in Turkey, we had to take a local cab. And, of course, there was a language barrier, number one. Number two, I didn't have any Turkish currency. And so they was telling me anything, and of course we gave them whatever money in U.S. currency, and I think we got gypped, okay? I just feel that we were gypped out of our money. They conned us out of more money than they would have if we had their currency and if we had spoken their language. So that's another thing. Make sure whatever country you're in, you know a few words in their language. Make sure you have some of their local currency. How much? Oh, how about $100 to about $300 in their local currency? And that will help you to buy anything that you need in the local stores or cab drives and things like that.
So it's important to learn the money part especially, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because we don't want to give out any more money than we have to, okay? Now.
Absolutely.
Now, did you ever consider this? And this is part of how much money should you carry. Suppose you have an emergency. So what happens if you have an emergency, Joyce? What do you do?
Well, of course I have insurance, but, yeah, I you never think of an emergency or anything like that. That's too much of life to think about that. You're going there to enjoy stuff and get away from stuff.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
You never think
but, you know, life does step in, and it doesn't consult you whenever it gets ready to step. It steps. So that is something we definitely need to consider. What if there is an emergency? What if I had fell or, you know, gotten sick or my husband got sick or something? We both got sick, you know, and know nobody wherever we are, you know. So, yeah, that's something to consider.
That is something to consider because in emergencies, we never think about it. We never think about, as you say, falling down, breaking a limb, or having a heart attack, or any kind of maybe life-threatening something like that. Or maybe it isn't even a life-threatening illness or accident that occur. Maybe you missed your plane, and you have to make up the difference of what your plane cost to get there and another ticket to get out of the place. Sometimes they want to put on up to $500 extra because you have to buy another ticket to get from point A to get back home.
Absolutely.
So, and they want their money right then and there, okay? But you can also put that on a credit card, too, if you have a credit card. But best of all, Joyce, you did mention the insurance. Why is it important to have travel insurance?
For that very reason, if something goes wrong, if, for instance, what if I had lost my traveler's checks, just like I do credit cards and my cash? Insurance is very important because that can help you in many, many situations.
Absolutely.
And it causes you not to have to stay there weeks and months afterwards and you're still spending money that you don't have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we need to have some emergency funds along with your $1,000 to do your shopping, your sightseeing, things like that. But also, please, take it from us. Get the travel insurance if your travel agent, and most travel agents are going to offer it to you. And if you refuse, then you sign off on a waiver and say, I'm sorry, I am not accepting the travel insurance at this time. Because it saves you.
I'm not calling anybody stupid. I'm sorry, I don't mean to butt in, but I'm not calling anybody stupid, but it is stupid to not have insurance at this day and age.
Yes, yes. So, therefore, how much money you should have, as little as you can get by with, as much as you can, according up to the government's regulation. Should you have money for emergency? Yes. Should you have travel insurance? Yes. So those are some key points that you need to know for this particular answer to this question. How much money should I have? And don't forget to make a budget. So my next question for you is this. In what form should I take my money or carry my money? In what form? And there's only three basic forms at this point. And the three basic forms we talked about is cash, we talked about credit cards, and we talked about traveler's checks. So remember the three C's of the forms: cash, credit cards, and travel checks. Let's talk about cash. Okay, why cash? It's easy. Accessible. Get your money in, get it out. Remember, carry U.S. currency. Most countries these days do accept U.S. currency. But also remember, as I said earlier, to make sure you go and get some of it converted into the foreign currency of the country that you're traveling to if you are doing international traveling. It makes your life a little more easier, and you will have a more enjoyable experience. Okay? So that is good. Now, Joyce, can you think of a negative behind having cash while you travel?
Yes, I can. As I mentioned earlier, losing it, that's one of the negatives. sticky fingers, that's another negative. You know, so, I mean, I'm sure there are many others. But those are the two right off the top of my head that I can think of. Number one is losing it, which I've already, you know, mentioned that I've done.
Yes. So, and here it is. When your cash is gone, guess what? It's gone. You can't get it back.
So where's your plan?
So if people have sticky fingers and they see you with a great big old wad of cash coming out, that, oh man, they gonna be looking for you. Where did they go? I saw them got a great big. I could not believe I was on the internet and I saw 50 Cent. Okay, y'all know who 50 Cent is. He's one of those rappers out there, and he was on one of the talk shows. And he pulled out a great big wad of money. Now, I don't know how much. It could have been all singles, but I don't know. I think they were $100 bills mixed up in there. But a big old wad of cash like this, well, he has his posse around him, so he's being protected.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's got support with him.
He got big time. But let me tell you out there in the listening audience, if you got that $1,000 and you gonna carry it in cash, I don't think so. So don't think you 50 cents got your posse around you, got you protection. So carry minimum in your cash. And I saw some wearable accessories. There's the money belts are still fashionable. You can hide them underneath your clothes. There is a neck wallet wallet that you can hang around your neck and put your cash in. And let's see, what else do they have? Neck wallet, you got your money belt, and then for
they got money belts too.
And for the ladies, you know, some of the ladies, you know how, I don't know about some of you young ladies and older ladies and middle-aged ladies out there, you know how you stick your money down your bra? Well, they got a little little thing where you can put your money in. It's called a bra stash, flat stash. Put it in. It's like a little wallet, and you put it in your bra. So you won't be losing it. Money won't be slipping out your bra. You think you've got your money up there, and it's gone, too. It's done slipped out your bra. So they got little stuff to pin up in your bra. And then if that doesn't work, men, they got a leg wallet. You know, like you see those in the old TV shows, some people got carry their gun on their leg. Well, you can have a wallet on your leg. Put your little money down in the wallet and tighten it up around your leg. Hopefully you don't walk too much during the day and you done lost some weight in your legs and that done slipped down around your ankle. Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah.
I hope everybody's listening to this because we're having a great time. Just go ahead and call in 516-418-5740.
Oh, but if they're not listening to this now, they're going to be wishing that they did if they listen to it later. But, you know, it's like, oh, man, she off the chain today. All righty. So that's the cash. The other thing is credit cards. Well, most credit cards are acceptable everywhere. everywhere in the world. So it's good to have the credit card. Now, be careful. Be careful. Credit cards versus debit cards. Now, you know the debit cards are going to be associated to your bank account. So be very, very careful about that debit card, especially when you're out of the country. But remember that those funds are going to be insured by the banks. So those are good things to know. Again, the cards are going to be accepted worldwide, most of them. So you have your American Express. Now, remember about the American Express, you got to pay that bill up in a month's time. So be careful about how you're going to run up that bill because you got that American Express Platinum card. So just make sure that you're going to be able to pay that bill off in 30 days. After you come back from that trip, it's like, oh, no, did I really spend that much money? Yep, you sure did. Okay, now, here is something that I didn't know about, but I found out. In some countries, they are not accepting the credit cards. They have what is called the chip and pin card system, which is actually a micro that is embedded in the card. Instead of using the strip that we have on our cards where they slide through, this is just another form of security that some countries are moving toward. It's called the chip and pin system. And again, read about what type of credit cards or cards that are being used in the countries that you are planning to visit. That's part of that reading, writing, and arithmetic. Okay? Also, be aware that if you're using your credit cards out of the country, there might be an extra fee attached to using it. So if you use, especially at the ATM, if you used to no fees because you go to your bank, or if you go to a your regular banking facility, ATM, where they charge you $3 to use their ATM machine, remember, when you're out of the country, that might double or triple. So just be aware of of the charges. Ask questions at your bank. You know, make sure that that's, you know, included in your budget, because you may have to spend higher fees to use your credit card. I know, didn't know that. So now I know I'm not using my credit card, okay, when I go outside of the country. And then the other part is the traveler's checks. I remember years and years ago, my mother always went to the bank the day before our ventures and got traveler's checks. I saw that. I grew up with that. I used that, except for this last trip. And guess what? And if you don't try to spend all your checks because you have them. You can come back and save them if you don't use them on your last trip. Save them for your next trip. Or they're still usable here in the United States. You can still use them. You know, the most popular ones that I know is American Express. And then there was another one, Barclay checks. I'm not sure if Barclay is still around, and it may be, but I know American Express. Not only do they have the American Express card, but they do have the American Express traveler's checks. So check into those two things. The good thing about traveler's checks is that if you do lose them, go to a traveler's American Express office in whatever city or country that you are in, and they will reissue those things, those checks. How do I know? Because when I went to Spain the first time, someone lifted my traveler's checks, and I was at the bullfight and didn't have my checks. So the next day was Monday. We went to the American consulate, and they told us where to go as far as to get my checks restated. Here's another tip. When you have your traveler's checks, make sure you separate your receipts, the numbers of your traveler's checks, away from your traveler's checks, just in case someone does decide to say, I'd like to have that person's money, so that when you go make a claim, you won't look like boo-boo and say, I don't know, everything was together. Make sure you separate those two items, that you have proof that you bought those traveler's checks and that you will be able to get a refund on them or replacement checks without cost to you. Right, Joyce?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Great information. That is absolutely fantastic information. I hope you guys will go to our website, thepowerofTraveling@gmail.com, and let us know what you think, what your thoughts are, or give us a call at 516-418-5740. Dr. A, you're doing absolutely wonderful. I love listening to you.
Oh, wow. Thank you. But you know what? You are helping so much in this conversation as well. Love you, too. Love you, too, Joyce. And you just sit back there and laugh at me like I'm the funniest person on this planet.
Well, you are funny
sometimes. Oh, sometimes.
Even
okay.
My grandbaby's laughing.
Oh, your grandbaby laughing. Oh, man. I got the little children laughing. My. You know, that's really bad. Really bad. Really bad.
That's good.
So now, we talked about the first thing. How much money should we carry? The next one is, what are the forms? Okay, we know that we can carry the forms in cash, credit cards, and traveler's checks. The last thing, and I talked about this, mentioned about this a little bit earlier, is like, how do I keep my money safe? How, you know, everybody wants to say, well, if I don't take it out the bank, it's safe. If I don't bring my check, my credit cards, my money going to be safe. All right. Well, you know, there's nothing in this world. Somebody is going to find a way, invent a way to take your money, some kind of way. If they see that you got more than them and they in need, you know, sometimes what they say, desperate times calls for desperate measures. And if they,
yes,
and if you are in one of those countries that have a little bit less than what we have and they are desperate, just beware. Just beware. Some of the items that I did mention earlier to make sure that you have a money belt. Make sure that you have your neck wallets or your bra stash or your leg wallets. But if you don't want to go out and spend money like that, then make sure that whatever you have is secure enough and that you don't have your wallet at the top of your purse. I have a bad habit of keeping my wallet at the top where people can just reach down in my purse and just take it and go off running. But I'm going to be a running sister behind them, too. I'm going to be scared. That man stole my They ain't getting away with it. They ain't getting away. So make sure that what you have is not visible, not easily accessible to, to the common crook or the thief. Don't give them something that it will entice them to take it away from you. So put it down.
In other words, don't help them.
That's right. Don't help them. Don't do not help them to rob you. Okay? Do not be a walking sign say, you can rob me, I don't care. So just make sure that your things are well secure. You know, if you're going to go traveling and you're going to have a great big old bag, you know, I love these bags. Joyce said she loves my purses and stuff. Make sure they got a zipper at the top or some kind of way that they got pockets that have zippers that you can put stuff down in to that they won't get their fingers on. So those are different ways in which to keep your money safe. Now, also, in the hotels, in some of the rooms, you have safes so that you can put your valuables in there and make sure, and most of them, you can come up with your own combination for the safes. And they're in the closet or wherever they put those things. On the ship, you can ask for a safe deposit box. They have safe deposit boxes on the ships where you can put your valuables. So those are some suggestions. And you know what? And it's almost like the old saying. I'm always with the old sayings. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your money in one place. Don't put your cash. Don't put your credit cards. Do not put your checks all together. Oh, man, they're going to have a field day with you if you do that.
Absolutely.
Okay? So kind of put them in three different places if you're going to have all three of them. But don't put them all together. No. Mm-mm. And, Joyce, do you think I need to put my money in my pocket?
That all depends. That all depends. If you have those shallow pocket pants like I have, no. Because when I sit, I lose my keys. I have money coming out. My husband's always telling me, you drop money on the floor. You got that much to give away, give it here. So if you do have pockets, make sure they're deep enough in your pocket so you won't be losing your money when you sit down. Or if you go in your pocket for your cell phone or your keys or whatever, you know, make sure it's deep enough that you can have it securely.
Okay. All right. So, you know, we have answered all three of those questions. We answered the question about how much money you need to take when you are traveling. Just depends. If you got a lot of money, hey, you may want to take extra money, but we know that we need the things that we need to cover or have covered, and you know, and budget. Make that budget, and then you know exactly how much extra money you need to take with you when you are traveling. We also talked about the various forms, and you need to probably have all three. But the other thing is to be very safe about it. Don't put all three in the same place. Have your cash here. Put your credit cards maybe in your wallet, maybe in another place. And then if you have traveler's checks, make sure that's in a separate place. And then we talked about various accessories that you may want to use to be safe. Get the old-fashioned money belt. Get the neck wallets. Get the bra stash and your leg wallet to be safe. Now, one thing that we talk about on our show is accessibility. How does one travel with their, if they have, let's talk about the blind. If you have a sight impairment or if you are legally blind and some people can see somewhat and some are totally blind. Well, according to the United States Act, Rehabilitation Act, the Treasury Department is not in compliance. It's really not in compliance with making money accessible to those people who are have difficulty seeing. So by the year 2020, our new currency is going to be in such a way that the people who do Braille, you know, the raised dots and everything, there's going to be a system that is going to be on our paper currency. And so that it will have what is called the tactile features, and so that they can feel what currency it is. You know, whether it's a dollar bill, $5 bill, $50 bill, $100 bill, they can feel what it is by just rubbing their fingers over and say, oh, okay, I have a $100 bill. So by that time, all of the money should be converted over by 2020. And until then, they have changed over so that the numbers are larger. You know, I need as big a numbers as possible so I can see. You know, people talk about me in my glass. You know, they talk about me looking over my glasses, putting things all up in my face and everything. So, you know, they made the numbers larger so that you can distinguish whether it's a dollar bill versus a $10 bill versus a $100 bill. So those things, the numbers are larger. And then they're going to have, they're working on hardware and software currency readers to help and aid the blind and visually impaired residents so that they know what kind of currency that they do have. So I am quite sure that people who have who are blind, you know, people take advantage of them because they don't know. They don't see what money is. It's probably easy with the coins, but not so easy with the paper currency. So those are things that are coming up as to make using money more accessible to the clients who are sight impaired. And that's not just for travel, but that's in their everyday life. It makes their life a little bit easier. So, wow, Joyce, we had a full pack today about carrying money. You know, I want to burst out in song with my OJs saying, money, 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 money. Woo, money.
Yes, absolutely. This is wonderful information that I learn something every week. So I hope everybody else learned something. Give us a call, 516-418-5740. Email us, thepowerofTraveling@gmail.com. So, Dr. A, take it away.
Take it away. So I just want you to know that you do not have to be a millionaire to do travel. All it takes is a lot of planning. Plan around the money that you have. Do not be discouraged if you have champagne taste on a beer budget. That's all right. Beer is served everywhere around the world, and that's all right. And you can go. You can plan. But just remember, when you are planning, how are you going to carry your money? Repeatedly ask yourself, What is in your wallet for traveling? What is in your wallet for traveling? Is it cash? Do you have credit cards? Do you have traveler's checks? Back to the basics of traveling, carrying money. Remember to read about it. Don't forget to write about it. Don't forget your budget around it. That is it. This is all for this week. We hope to have you back next week. We have Joyce, we have Ann, and we thank Dr. Applewhite for being here talking about her travel business and children and students with disabilities, because guess what? everybody can travel. No matter what, where you are, if you are able or disabled, everyone can travel. All right, y'all. This is it. Talk to you next week. Bye. Have a wonderful and pleasant week.
You too.
All right.